Maybe that's what we're doing here today. We're taking the lid off and getting rid of all that mixed up theology. Appreciated what Anthony had to say. I don't see Anthony here. What he had to say about hiding the reality of Jesus as the Son of God is real. And I recently, just a couple of weeks ago, I read, Anthony, I'm referring to your the fact that so many want to hide the fact that Jesus is the begotten Son of God. And a couple of weeks ago, I read an explanation that only half of Jesus was born the Son of God. And so the other half pre-existed, and the human nature of Jesus is the only part that was born. So kind of it's a half and half, and so the explanation is that half of Jesus is the begotten Son of God, but the other half isn't. And just paraphrasing what the author had to say, if the entire person of Jesus was the Son of God, then we've got some real problems. Yeah. All right. Let's sing this. Well, let me hear. All right. In the Brown Hymn Book, the first hymn, How Great Thou Art, which is the title of my presentation this afternoon, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, Thy in awesome wonder, consider all worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder that far throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty grandeur yonder, and hear the brook of the breeze, and sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is some not sparing, set in to die I scarce can take it in that on the cross, burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And I think that's why we're here today and speaking various approaches to this theme, to recognize and praise how great our Father is. Now, not all believers are theologians, but all believers should read the Bible, and that's God's Word. And all believers need to know God and who He is and what He does. Now, for my own benefit, I need to keep this simple and not get too deep and detailed, just looking at how great God is. Now, Matthew 5:16, known by probably all of you, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and what?
Glorify.
Glorify your Father. So, we need to know who He is and what He does in order to adequately and properly worship and praise and glorify the Father. It's my opinion that the Father is not given the recognition, the acknowledgement, and the honor and praise that He deserves. Look at most of the hymn books and how many hymns are there that glorify God, our Father. The majority of hymns will exalt Jesus, talk about His dying on the cross and as the Son of God, but there aren't very many that give honor and praise and glory to the Father. So my approach is I believe that we need to worship and give honor and praise to the Father. And the only way that we can properly do that is if we know who He is and what He does. We also know the scripture in Acts 17:23, when the Apostle Paul saw the altar with the inscription, and what was on the altar? To the unknown God. Well, I think today there is still an altar inscribed to the unknown God. The message reads, so you can worship intelligently, know who you're dealing with. Now, I don't promote the message as an accurate translation, but some of the contemporary works concerning the Bible. Help us to understand in words that we can relate to. If you're going to worship intelligently, know who you're dealing with. Again, I repeat, I think that we need to worship, praise, and honor God as the Father and give Him the rightful recognition He deserves without diminishing the role of Jesus, but recognizing the role of the Father and the role of the Son and giving each one the proper praise and honor as deserved. Romans 13 and verse 7 says, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, that was speaking concerning individuals, human beings, but the same principle applies. Give the tribute to the Father that is due, and the tribute to the Son that is due, but in the proper place, the proper position, the proper role. The custom to the Father, the custom to the Son. An honor to the Father for His role, an honor to the Son in His role. But don't confuse them and mix them up. And don't put the Son above the Father. Which is why I say the altar is still inscribed to the unknown God. Because many, many believing Christian people who worship do not know God adequately and properly. 1 John 2, verse 22, He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. That sounds pretty plain. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now, if you're a Trinitarian, you may argue and say, well, that means that if you deny the fact that the Father and the Son are the same, then you're Antichrist. Now, every Trinitarian, How many do we have in the Trinity? How many are in this text? Something's left out then, if we're going to apply it that way, there's something missing. That from the very beginning, you have been taught. So continue in the Father and in the Son. Don't stray from that. Continue what you've learned from the beginning, both the Father and the Son. Again, we need to understand the role of the Father and the role of the Son, and specifically, who's in charge. Who has the final word? Who has the say? Who tells who what's going to happen, when, and how? So who's in charge? That's what the Bible said. And you don't have to be a theologian to read those words. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave. Who's in charge? Who's doing the giving? Who's responding? He gave His Son. John 17 and the first three verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify Thy Son. He didn't say only the half, as it often said, is glorify Thy Son. In verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Who's in charge? Who's number one? Now, acknowledge the Father and give Him the honor. Romans 1, 19 to 21, and don't need to turn there, just say, this text was read earlier in one of the sessions that, knowing God, they glorified Him not as God. And it goes on to say, there are three things that we need to understand and know about God, and that is His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature. So if we were going to take more than the time allotted, we could explain about the divine, or the invisible attributes of God. Name just one invisible attribute of God. Power, love, compassion. I'll say, you can see what they do, but it's an attribute of God that is only demonstrated by what is done. And His eternal power, what God does, and His divine nature, and that's what we're talking about today. The divine nature of God. And again, in Romans 1, it said, they don't glorify Him as God. They don't recognize Him as God. And in order to recognize Him as who He is and glorify Him, recognize His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature. Then we know God adequately, and we can worship Him. And if we're going to worship God, let's acknowledge what He has provided and given to humanity as benefits and blessings and opportunity. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See? So, God, Jehovah, the Father, has provided for us the gift of life. Right? So eternity, salvation, immortality, is a gift from the Father. So, let's acknowledge the Father for the gift He has given and the opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ. Who's in charge? The gift is given through. Not by, but through. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from Jesus or the Father of lights. See? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. It says the Father of lights. And the issue of light is expanded in First John, where it said, you know, that God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and His blood, and it cleanses us from all sin. But so the issue of eternal life is from God through Christ. And I appreciated the session on prayer, that the privilege and power of prayer comes to us because of God the Father. And you very well presented this thought when you said, when Jesus answered the question, how should we pray? He said, you pray our Father. So prayer is our privilege and opportunity because of the Father. And so we honor the Father in that regard. We give honor to the Father for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we give honor and worship God because He has instituted the privilege of prayer. And 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between man and God. Now get a mental picture of this. What do we have? We have one God and one mediator. Anthony, what's one and one? Yeah, one, see? You get the mental picture. You know, you've got one God and you've got one mediator between. You got, if that's all one, how do you get in between? You got the mental picture? One God, one mediator. Just put that picture in your mind. And then, speaking of pictures, the first martyr, when Stephen was stoned to death, and he looked up just before he died, and what did he see? What did Stephen see? I saw Jesus sitting on the right hand of God. What kind of a mental picture do you have? You know, an egg composed it as one? You just have to... It doesn't take a theologian. Common sense. But when you have to confuse, because it's inexplainable, and muddy the water because you can't reasonably present an explanation, then the only other way is to confuse. Of course, if you've got enough faith, you can understand beyond reason. You don't have to think and reason. Just believe. Now, so I honor God and give Him the praise that is due to Him because He has provided the plan of salvation, and it's His gift through His Son. And we are the recipients. So let's recognize how great He is for that gift of eternal life. And He's given us the privilege and power of prayer, so give Him the acknowledgement and recognition that he deserves as our Father. And we pray to our Father through the Son. And what's the blessed hope of the church? The return of Jesus Christ. The return of Jesus Christ. So, that's the culmination of God's plan of eternity, and we need to have a perspective on who does what. Let's have that other song. Number 476 in the hymn book. So let's sing that one. 476. This is the blessed hope. This is what anticipation, some glorious morning, sorrow will cease, some glorious morning, all will be peace. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. So let's sing all three verses of that. Golden morning, sorrow will cease, some glorious morning, all will be peace, heartaches all ended, labor all done, heaven will open, Jesus will come, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. That heart will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting, when we shall rise. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Blood once united, eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Now, regarding that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, that golden daybreak, let's get a perspective on who does what. Mark 13:32. No man knows the day or the hour. Only the Father knows when that golden daybreak will be. Not even the Son. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to determine who's in charge. If only one knows when it's going to be, who's in charge? The one that knows or the one that doesn't know? It's common sense. It doesn't take a theologian. Unless you want to try to muddy the water and confuse it, so that reasoning people who read their Bible can't understand it, then maybe something else. But one of my favorite texts is Acts, the 3rd chapter, and verse 19. One of the reasons I like this is because it says that all the holy prophets agree. So that's just all-encompassing. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So who does what in this blessed hope of the church? He shall send. No. The opportunity of salvation, God so loved that he gave. The blessed hope of the church, the return of Jesus Christ at some golden daybreak, and he will send Jesus Christ. Now, how difficult is it to answer the question, who's in charge? Whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, he will send Jesus Christ. You know, the culmination of God's plan, you know, the new heavens and the new earth, when God himself dwells with man, and this blessed description, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, the former things have passed away. Who wipes away the tears? The Father. And he will wipe away the tears. So, give honor where honor is due to the Father for what he does, and honor to the Son for what he does. But in the rightful position of what they do. Not exalting the Son above the Father or diminishing the Son because of what he does. He willingly gave his life on the cross. So give him honor for what the Son does. But don't neglect the Father. He's the one in charge. It's his word. His Son, his power, his word. 1 Corinthians 15, for last text. This is a great resurrection presentation from the Apostle Paul. Then cometh the end. Verse 24. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But there's one exception. The kingdom is given unto the Father. But one exception of submission. But when all things are put under his feet, there's one exception. But when he saith all things are put under him, it's very clear then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And that's the conclusion. And everything and everyone is finally under God's rule. This is the way the message reads. The Son will step down, showing that God's rule is absolutely comprehensive, a perfect ending. So, honor the Father, worship the honor, give Him the praise, do His name. He's given us the gift of eternal life through His Son. He's given us the privilege and power of prayer. And He's provided for us the blessed hope of the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. Honor the Father.